Welcome to the IC Church podcast. We pray this message helps you to love, build, and reach your world.
Would you just raise your hands this morning? And just in a moment, say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For all that He's done for us. And nothing of ourselves in this moment, but oh, Jesus. He has won the ultimate victory today. And we just say thank you, Jesus. We look to you today. We remember you. We honor you. We celebrate you. And we say thank you. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to celebrate Resurrection Sunday? Amen. Why don't you grab your seats this morning? Thanks, worship team. You know, I had an interesting conversation with someone just a couple of weeks ago, and they actually asked me the question, does it get really busy for you? She knows I was a Christian, and she said, you must be super busy at Easter. And I actually laughed out loud when she said that. I went, what do you mean? What do you think magical happens at Easter that suddenly we just get like these busy bees going crazy? And obviously we have a few extra services and some fun things that take place. She goes, well, I just thought being Easter and then Christmas, they're your kind of really religious moments and it's just a bit bigger in life. And I went, no, you don't understand. We celebrate this every day of our life. This is the reality for us. It doesn't get heightened at one point in our year. This like, oh my gosh, now we're really Christians. This is my reality every day of my life, that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died for my sins. He carried all my punishment and shame so that I could receive Him as my Lord and Savior. But He rose again, and we celebrate that victory today of all that Jesus has done for us. She goes, that actually probably makes sense. That it's not just a moment once a year, but it's actually something you live in. And, you know, obviously Christmas and Easter are anchor points in our life, but I'm telling you, this is the reality of who we are and why we live the life we do is because what Jesus has done for us. Today, I'm going to give you some scripture. You ready for some Bible today? Because I really believe that the Bible's going to preach this way better than I ever could, all right? And so get ready for some scriptures today. But on this Resurrection Sunday, let's look at 1 Corinthians, the first one. I love this. This is what we're celebrating. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Matthew 28:5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. As Pastor Amber said, it's a not day. He has risen, just as He said, come and see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell His disciples He has risen from the dead and He is going ahead of you into Galilee. Luke 24:6-7 says, He is not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you? While He was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again. And Acts 2:24, but God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it is impossible, listen to that, impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. And so today we celebrate life. We celebrate going from death to life. And this is the culmination of God's redemptive plan for humanity. And I love that. And so today I'm going to just share with you a few thoughts about resurrection life. And I want this to be not just something, oh yeah, that's an Easter message. No, this is something for us every day. We need to live in resurrection life. This is for each of us to walk in and go, you know what? This is my life. This is what I'm called to live. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 11:25 says this. And Jesus said to her, the woman says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I love this. You see, the resurrection is not just a historical event, even though it's definitely part of history. It transforms lives. It's still transforming lives. It transcends history, transcends culture, it transcends race and ethnicity, it transcends geographical boundaries, it transcends social demographics. It is resurrection, and this is the life that we are called to live, not celebrate once a year. And I think sometimes as believers, we take a moment, go, oh, resurrection, yeah, it's Easter, that's awesome. But if you actually thought about this is your inheritance, to live in resurrection life. This can be your daily journey. This can be how you live life, because Jesus has come that we would have life. And what's resurrection? Let's really put this in layman's terms. It's a raising up. It's a standing up again. It's about new life, new beginnings. Romans 8 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, this is important, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. That's why we have resurrection life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me today. Romans 8:11. We're going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, now Christ lives his life in you. I love that. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Resurrection life. And I want to give you some realities of what resurrection life looks like in your life. You ready for that today? Amen. You ready for the Bible? Because you're going to get the Bible today. What does resurrection life look in our life? It looks like new life. New life. You know, when I got married to Paul, which was awesome, 29-ish years ago, I actually got a new name. I had to go to an office, get my new name. He upgraded. He always says, you upgraded. I liked him better when he couldn't talk. Just put that out there. Getting heckled from the crowd. It's just not appropriate. But, you know, I got my name change. I went from Joanne Penny to Joanne Gehling. That was my name. But it's interesting. It was just a name change. It didn't actually change who I was. Unlike the new life that Jesus brings to us. You know, we stay the same on the outside. We still look the same. We still have the same name. But there is something of transformation that actually takes place in our life. To all intents and purposes, we can look the same on the outside. But resurrection life is new life. It's a change of who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Can I tell you, this is actually really good news for us? Because everything of our sin, when we come to Christ, is gone. All of our shame, it's gone. We don't just pick up who we are. Jesus says, I'm doing a transformational work in you. It's not a behavioral thing. It's an inward thing where we become new. And I tell you, that's why we walk as Christians in freedom. That's why we can tell the devil to get lost when he brings up our past. That's why we don't have to have guilt and condemnation in our life anymore, because there's something that happened on the inside. We became new. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've just read three scriptures to you today, and they were all written by the Apostle Paul. Yeah.
And you talk about a man who probably need to keep saying this over his life daily, I have new life. I am not the same person. You see, he was a persecutor of the church. He was a murderer of passionate Christians. And here he is going, no, that's not me anymore. I don't carry those things in my life anymore because I am a new creation. What a powerful thought. And that's why we're going to live in freedom. When you come to Jesus, he is the forgiver of sins. When we believe that he is our Lord in our heart and we confess him with our mouth, I'm telling you, you're stepping into new life. That's what the resurrection life is all about. You know, we have a friend, and I won't say his name for obvious reasons, but he had a wild upbringing. He was adopted as a child and really went down a whole road that was really crime, drugs, a heroin addict. Finally got pinged for being an armed robber and got caught. But in that meantime, this is in a place we lived in a long time ago, he actually found Jesus in the midst of this. And his life was so radically transformed that when he actually came and appeared before the judge, the sentence was like, yeah, we're not going to do what you should deserve right now. You're not going to receive what should come to you right now, because I can see, is what the judge was saying, there is such a marked difference in your life. And even though he looked like the same person on the outside, something of new life had grabbed him on the inside. And that's the revelation when we come to Jesus. He changes us. He transforms us. This person went on to become an Australian of the Year nominee, won so many areas, and has dedicated his life to actually working with at-risk teens to this day, to see them transformed, not just with programs, but with new life. And so when we walk in resurrection life, that's what we're walking in, new life. And can I tell you today, if you're a believer and you've believed in Jesus a long time, but shame still chases after you, if guilt still comes into your thoughts, you need to get these scriptures into your heart and go, I am a new creation. I am not what I was. I have been transformed by who Jesus has created me to be. So not only do we have new life, this resurrection life is about new life. It's also about having a purpose-filled life. A purpose-filled life. And Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love Colossians 3:17 says, and for whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Can I tell you, when you understand resurrection life, you also live a purpose-filled life. You understand that every part of your life is actually set with purpose to serve Jesus. And so often I think we're selling the wrong thing, saying, you know, God will give you everything you want, whatever it is. He's actually just saying, would you come and do what I've created you to do? Would you come and actually do these things? Come and share my mission. Come and live your life, sharing the good works that I've done in your life with others. You know, we make this so complicated, but it's actually just going about our life understanding I'm not here to pursue my purpose. I'm actually here to align my life with God's purpose. And you can live a purpose-filled life. There are so many people who lack purpose in life. And yet as Christians living in resurrection life, and if you're not a believer here today, I'm telling you, you can find purpose for your life in giving your life to Jesus. We can find purpose. And I just want to say this. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. And it was a wild Christian home, as in we were Christian. We were at church all the time, you know. There were meetings all the time. And we had, you know, the old-fashioned devices that kids played with, colouring in books and pencils. You know, that's what we played with back in the day. And so my life was consumed with church, with meetings, and I loved it. But I always put it in a category going, that's my church life and this is my other life. And I very much segmented my Christian faith because I thought people aren't going to understand the crazy things we do at church. Rather than actually see that it's actually an expression of Jesus in me that should flow into every aspect of my life. You know, sometimes what's my mission, Lord? Just go and do and share your story with other people. Just show them good works. Show them love. Just go with a purpose and say, I'm just here to represent Jesus really well. And I love this because, you know, for me, like I said, I was always, you know, And they knew I was a Christian, but I didn't want to get too deep into it because it was like, for me, it was always weird. There was just people getting healed and, you know, all these kind of things. And I thought no one would be interested in that. But you see, our whole life, and this is where we get it wrong, is actually meant to be purpose-filled. Resurrection life actually means that where life is just worship unto Him. It's service for Him. It's work in our work, whatever your work is that glorifies Him. It's fulfilling the Great Commission, that every aspect of our life would actually go, there is purpose in what I'm doing for Him. And I actually began to just normalize the fact that my Christianity is very real and it's very normal. And over years now, I just treat it like everyone knows what I'm talking about. You know, I love when I go and, you know, get my hair done and she goes, how was your week? Oh my gosh, my week was amazing. You know, at church this week, and this is what I do now, we saw 10 people saved. She goes, oh, well, what does that mean? I said, oh, I'll tell you what that means. And I go, yeah, and this person, oh my gosh, you should have seen what they were like before. Their journey and their, oh my God, it was crazy. And she goes, really? Oh, that's amazing. I'm sharing your testimonies with people that I come into contact with every day. And she goes, that's incredible. You should have seen them before. But what God has done in their life is extraordinary. You know, I prayed this week and God did this. It's just normal. And we've got to normalize our faith and go, you know what? That's my purpose, just to share Jesus wherever I go. You know, I've shared it before, but I'll have a facial. And my lovely beautician lady, I love her. She'll go, I've got this back issue and I'm going for surgery. And I'm going, you wouldn't believe it. We had someone get healed of a back injury last week. She goes, really? What happened? I go, well, it was amazing. We've just got to realize every aspect of our life is purpose-filled. That's what resurrection life looks like. And then we normalize this faith to go, oh, you don't believe. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you'd live life without Jesus. I say that anytime I get my hair cut, I say, oh, I don't know how anyone could do life without Jesus. And I love people that go, yeah, I could see how that would really, yeah, that's right. We've got to make this normal. You know, I love the fact that even Philip, here he is in Samaria, it talks about in Acts 8. Because of persecution, they got spread out. And he finds himself in Samaria, which generally wasn't a friendly place for Jewish people to be. And it says, you know, he'd been scattered, so he preached the word where he was. And I just love that. Bring Jesus wherever you are. And you'd be surprised how people go, tell me more. Because this is actually revolutionary to them to hear this. So a purpose-filled life. A few more real quick. Not only does a resurrection life bring new life and a purpose-filled life, it brings abundant life. Abundant life. And let me give you some context for this, because we've all got our little Western brain on right now, the filter of abundant life. That means a new car. that means a new house. No, I'm telling you, the gospel should work in every setting and every situation. And so abundance, what it looks like here in Brisbane, is going to be the same as what it looks like for a believer in Syria right now. For people in the Ukraine right now, God has an abundance that far transcends anything that we could possess. And we've got to understand that's the resurrection life. And this abundant life, I'm going to give you some scriptures. I hope you're liking the word of God. We're going to Sunday school today. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. John 7:37. And on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow within them." Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 3:20, we know this one well. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And Psalm 23, verse 5 to 6, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We've just got to switch what we think abundance is sometimes. Because let me tell you today, there's an abundance of peace for you. There's an abundance of strength. There's an abundance of his might and ability in your life. There's an abundance of his power. There's abundance of hope and promises in every situation. There's an abundance of joy, regardless of the circumstances. There's an abundance of grace to walk through every season and every challenge in our lives. I love the fact that when the storm came, what did Jesus do? He slept. That's the abundant life that we can have. You know, there's a hymn I had on my wedding day, and as I walked down the aisle 28 or 29 years ago, whoever knows, and it's just called "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And it's got this part, the lyrics say, "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide." This is my favourite line. "Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." It goes, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." He has abundant life for you. But maybe you just need to change your definition of what abundant life actually is. Resurrection life is new life. It's abundant life. It's purpose-filled life. Two more real quick. And it's also breakthrough life. It's a breakthrough life. It actually is the ability for God to break through any situation, any challenge. We believe in healing. By his stripes, we are healed. We believe in miracles. We believe that God is not constrained, restricted, limited in any capacity. And that resurrection life is breakthrough life in us. Jeremiah 32:17 says this, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Worship team, why don't you come and join me? Job 42 says this, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted." Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Ephesians 3:20, we know this one again. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is work within us, to him be the glory. Isaiah 40:28 says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired. He will not grow weary. He does not need a holiday. He does not need a break. He can handle every prayer you're praying. He can handle every request that you're bringing. He doesn't need a moment just to have time to himself. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Resurrection life is breakthrough life. There is no limit to who God is, what he can do. He cannot be contained. In fact, he defeated death itself, and we can walk in that freedom. You think about it. He can part oceans. He can keep the sun standing still for a moment. He can actually feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing of science, time, resource, weather, any natural laws that can actually limit him and hem him in. It's a breakthrough kind of life that we lead. And there have been many breakthroughs over the years. There's been breakthroughs in science. We all live in the benefit of having antibiotics today because someone made a breakthrough. We all have access to the World Wide Web because someone made a breakthrough in those areas of technology. You know, in sport, there's been breakthroughs. You know, 1950s, it was said no one could ever break the mile in under 4 minutes. No one will ever do it. And a man in 1954 called Roger Bannister started running the mile, and he came in under 4 minutes, the mile, and it was unheard of. It was a breakthrough. And since then, there's been close to more than probably 1,500 people recorded who've broken that achievement that actually seemed impossible. But God's not even limited by those things. We have to understand resurrection life is breakthrough life. Our God can, he will, go above and beyond what we could even imagine in our lives. And so resurrection life is new life. It's a purpose-filled life. It's abundant life. It's breakthrough life. And I'm finished with this. It's eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And 1 John 2:25, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. It's interesting. We don't like to think beyond this world. But resurrection life actually gives us the promise of eternal life. That we can know one day beyond all these things that we live here and these hardships that we have in this world, we have a hope beyond these moments. When we've given our life to Jesus, when we choose to follow him, he promises us eternal life. That's the reward. That's the hope. That's the joy that we one day get to be with him for all eternity.
Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about IC Church, visit icchurch.com.